Take your Bibles with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 116. Chapter 116, book of Psalms. Today is our church-wide Thanksgiving, a day that we set aside to have thanks as a family. You say, why are we doing it so far in front of Thanksgiving? Because we just like to make it a long time. As much as we can eat around here, we like to. Because, you know, the week before Thanksgiving, a lot of times people are traveling and people are going to see family and different things. And so this is a time for us to spend together and offer thanks together and be grateful as a family. So this morning, I just want to take a few moments because the turkey and the ham back there smelling so good. But just take a few moments and look at this psalm this morning in Psalm 116. Now, before I get into the message, I got to get something off my chest, okay? We're in the middle of November now, and it's time I say something. The events have passed, and it's time to say something. And, you know, just being inundated this past week with so much that's been going on. So much hate, so much violence, rage, all the Facebook posts, the pictures, all of this that's going on. It's time that I weighed in and I said something that needs to be said. And that is, Thanksgiving comes before Christmas. That's not what you were thinking I was going to say, was it? Thanksgiving comes before Christmas. And a lot of times we just kind of skip over the Thanksgiving holiday to get to the tinsel, to get to the lights. There's people who had lights up since Halloween. I won't name names, but she's taking care of our children right now in the other building. And she would probably fight me over this. But you know what? Thanksgiving comes before Christmas. And this is a very important holiday for us. A lot of times it is very lighthearted. It's downplayed because there's not all the glamour and the glitz to Thanksgiving as there is Christmas and these times. But Thanksgiving, I think, should come before Christmas. And what we are seeing that's going around throughout our nation, even with the events of this past week, gratitude is a waning concept in our culture. And the ability to give thanks. In fact, what is rising is a sense of entitlement. That I am entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. I'm entitled to this. And we hear my rights, my rights, my rights, instead of, here's my thanks. Here's my thanks. Here's my thanks. And as we get going today and as we think about this concept of Thanksgiving and what it means to us, we need to be quick to give thanks versus feeling our preferential entitlements. And in fact, this past week we celebrated Veterans Day. If you're a veteran, and if you have served in our armed forces, or we have some that are currently serving, will you please stand this morning? I want you to look out across our congregation and just see these that have served and those that are currently serving. And some of you are directly related to those that have served or are serving. And before we continue on, let's just stop and say thank you. Thank you. And that is, you can be seated now. It's always awkward at the end. You're like, when do I stand? When do I sit? You know, it's fun to watch that. But you know, it's so important for us to be people of gratitude. When all we see around us is entitlement. And all we see around us is those that think that they need to have this and need to have it now. Understand that what we have today is built on those that gave it all. That gave it up for us. And here in Psalm 116, we're going to see that sentiment as well. Today I've entitled this message, Willful Thanksgiving. Because gratitude needs to be a matter of willpower, and it needs to be intentional. It's a choice, it's a response, and it should be willful from our hearts. And I want you to see the words of the psalmist here in Psalms 116. Read along with me. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because He inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call on Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pains of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. You know, this is a very beautiful psalm, and it's a psalm that is just sprinkled with these thoughts of thanksgiving. And what I love is as he begins it, notice the very first thing out of the psalmist's mouth here in verse 1. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Let me tell you something. If your heart starts with that phrase right there, it's going to take care of a lot of the other problems. Because then the color of the carpet's not going to matter as much as I love the Lord. You know what? We even have some chairs out here that we're looking at for replacing some of the, you know, going and replacing our seats and the ones that are wearing out. And, you know, and that's a very dangerous thing to do in a church, is to give people choices. Because then it's like, well, I don't like this color. Well, how about this color? Well, this one's got a pattern, and this one's got this and that. And we go through all these different things. You know what? If you start with the phrase, I love the Lord, it doesn't matter where you sit. If you start with the phrase, I love the Lord, that means something's going on in your life. It's changing your disposition. That all of a sudden, the problems that you're going through, the things that you have before you, yes, they're tough. Yes, they bring you down. But when you start with, I love the Lord, you know that if God be for us, who can be against me? And it changes your heart. He starts with this declaration of love. I love the Lord. And why? Because He heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because He inclined His ear to me. This word inclined here is a beautiful picture. It's a picture of the Lord stooping over. He's saying, He inclined His ear. The God of the universe has inclined His ear to us. He has turned His ear to us. And when we were in distress, and when we could not help ourselves, He inclined unto us. He says, I love the Lord because He loved me. You know what's interesting? Love begets love. And when we respond with love, and when we start with love, we have the opportunity to see love continue just the way in which we have to worship today. We worship, we love the Lord Not the because it is to bring our own success or to bring our own blessing. We love the Lord. We serve the Lord. We worship the Lord today because love ran red. Because He loved us. And that's why we say, I love the Lord. You see, this initial declaration here is so key to the thanksgiving that follows. You know what? Your heart is going to be a whole lot more thankful if it is in a good, loving relationship with the Lord to start with. Starting with that love unto Him. The psalmist then, he recounts God's works. He talks about what He's done. Hey, He's heard my voice. He's inclined His ear for my pleas of mercy. Look at verse 3. The snares of death encompassed me. The pains of Sheol lay hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. You know, many of you could describe your weeks that way sometimes, right? You know what? This week has just been terrible. You know, this week I've had this problem. I've had this going on. It's just been filled with fear and anguish. This week I've been trying to write a paper. It's been filled with anguish and trying to think of words. You know, sometimes our lives get this way. It's filled with fear, with anguish, and all of that. But you know what? In the midst of that, then I called on the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord. Righteous, our God, is merciful. He is recounting God's works. If you want to have a heart of thanksgiving today, recount what God has done for you. Recount the things that God has provided for you. When we want to feel our entitlements more than our gratitude, remember what God has already provided. And think about, regardless of how many people think there's doom and gloom on our horizon, remember that this is still the best nation to live in across this world. And as we have this time, we can start and remember what God has done. There is a response here because of God's works. He's recounting them. This is showing that there is something that has happened in his life that he has been rescued from. Verse 8, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Notice in verse 10, I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. That might have been said in the near time, in our recent future or past here this past week. All mankind are liars. So this has been some great distress in his life, some great problem, even to maybe the point of betrayal. Man is liars. You know what that means? Man's going to let you down. If you're looking to find your success in man, if you're looking to find your happiness in man, in people, listen, there's going to come a point they're going to let you down. And the psalmist says, I love the Lord because He is good. He's gracious. He's recounting His good works. But then after recounting God's works, he responds to God's provision. You know what? Gratitude is always going to manifest itself in action. If we're truly grateful, it's going to manifest itself in action. It's going to come out in our actions. And you know, I want you this morning to notice the I wills that are found here in Psalm 116. The I wills of Psalm 116. First we see the I will call, verse 2. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. Here we see the vow to pray. Because of his gratitude, because of his thanksgiving, he says, I'm going to call upon the Lord. I'm going to vow right now to pray unto Him, to talk to Him. You know why? Because there was a precedent. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice. God had a precedent of faithfulness in His life. And listen, folks, God has not changed. God is faithful. And He is going to answer and He is going to provide the answers for our lives. Sometimes we might not understand them. Sometimes we might not know what's going on during that time. But God is working through them. And He says, I have a vow to pray. I will call upon Him because of the precedent of a God who hears. Do not get mad at God if we are not taking the time to communicate with Him. Don't get mad at God for not speaking to you if we aren't in His Word. Don't get mad to God for not hearing you if you aren't praying to Him. But this is a vow to pray. A vow to come before Him, to call upon God in gratitude. It's God's precedent of His goodness. Look at verse 5. Gracious is the Lord, righteous our God is merciful. I mean, these are outpourings of a heart that has experienced God answering prayer. You know, in our Waypoints journal, there is a prayer journal in the front of it for that express reason, that you might write your request, that you might bring it before the Lord in a consistent manner. And then when you see God answer it, there's a place for you to put the date and the answer. So that through time, you can go back and say, look, this is how God's answered right here. Look, this is how God has answered this prayer. You know what? It might not have been what I thought, but here's this answer. Here's this answer right here. Here's this answer. And to see how God has worked. You know what, on Wednesday nights, I love when we sit down with our prayer list and we begin going through it. A couple Wednesday nights ago, there was a fact of we were listing all these different ones where God had answered prayer. Where God had healed people of cancer. Where God had worked through surgeries. Where God had done different things. And we were praising God because He heard our cries. You know what's interesting? Is that we would not take very kindly to a beggar who kept coming to us and begging of us. This is an illustration that Spurgeon gave upon this verse. And he says, you know, as humans, if a beggar came to us and we gave him something, and he turned around and began to sing our praises because we gave him something, and he said, you know what? I'm never going to stop coming to you because you gave me something. What is going to be your response? I'm moving. I don't want you to know my address. You know, when someone that's always coming for a handout, my father-in-law had a stray dog just begin to show up on his property. And instead of, you know, trying to find its owner or different things, you know, he began to feel sorry for it, so he gave it some leftovers. Guess what happened the next night? The dog came back. So much so, he was going through finding some of the old food in the refrigerator, microwaving it, and giving it to that dog. You know what? The dog keep coming back, and all of a sudden, he has a new dog. You know what, sometimes when we think of a beggar that keeps coming back and keeps begging because of it, you know, we would not be as kind. But think about this. This is what God is showing His goodness to us. Because just like beggars, we keep coming to Him and He keeps inclining His ear to us. And that's why we can see in verse 5, gracious is the Lord, righteous our God is merciful, because He continues to incline His ear to us. The psalmist says, I will call. He then says, I will walk. Look at verse number 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Another willful act of thanksgiving is he is going to walk before the Lord. The idea of walking is the idea of living and how you conduct your life. When you see walk in Scripture, it's talking about your actions and in your life. And what we see here is the vow to obey. It's the vow to obey. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You know, again, gratitude changes our actions. And notice here what he says, I will walk before the Lord. The vow here of obedience is to walk before the Lord. What this means is he's saying, because of what God has done for me, because of how good God is, I'm going to walk every day like I am walking right in front of Him. Like I am walking right where He is. Oh, I tell you, if we could sense God's presence a whole lot better in our life, it would change our actions, wouldn't it? You ever had that convicting thought of, what if God came back right now? What would He find me doing? During our weeks, if God came back right now, what would He find me doing? Or what if my thoughts were displayed to those around me right now? What would they think of me? You see, that kind of thought is walking before men. And what the psalmist says here is, listen, I want to walk before the Lord. I want my actions to be like I am walking before the presence of the Lord each and every day. He says, I have the vow to obey. That changes a lot of things. Gratitude changes our actions. My brother had a friend in high school. His name was Peter Loveman. And he was a fellow band nerd of my brother. I say that lovingly. And Peter went to camp with my brother. He got saved at youth camp. And God changed his life and did some incredible things. And in our high school, our public school there in Lake Wales, Florida, the homecoming dance was just not a place for Christians. It was, my parents had some video of some of the previous dances and the things that went on in those dances. It was just not a place for Christians to be. The type of dancing, the different things that they were doing, and that was back in the early 90s. And it was just not a place. And my brother and Peter were walking down the hall, and one of their friends came up to him and said, "Well, Peter, are you going to the homecoming dance?" And Peter said, "No." And this girl said, well, why not? And he said, "My date said no." And really, I think she was in shock that he actually asked a girl to go. And she said, "Oh, yeah, well, who was your date?" And he said, "Jesus Christ." And it changed things. You know what? When we have the idea of walking before the Lord, it changes our actions. Here was gratitude that said, I'm going to walk before the Lord. Thirdly, we see, he says, I will lift in verse 13. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Now, this verse is really a beautiful picture here, and we don't have time to go through all the back meaning of it. But the cup of salvation here, it's referring to the Seder cup, the cup of the Passover. And it's referring to that salvation that comes, and it has also the idea of a drink offering. You see, when they would have Thanksgiving offerings and they would give thanks, they would bring it as a peace offering or a drink offering. And they would come, and a drink offering was important because as you came with that drink offering, you would pour it out before the Lord. And a drink offering was completely poured out and consumed before the Lord, that there was nothing left. And he says, I will lift up the cup of salvation. This is a vow to praise. He says, I'm going to lift up the cup of salvation. I'm going to praise God for what he's done. And I'm going to praise him in such a way that I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to pour it out before the Lord. And I'm going to give him everything that I have. He is pouring it out for him. And you know what? That's what gratitude should do to us. You know, our gratitude should permeate. It should radiate from our inside to when we worship. It is just a pouring out of who we are. It's a pouring out of gratitude before the Lord. And I'm just going to pour it out before him. I'm going to give him everything that I have. I'm going to lay it at his feet. I'm going to say, Lord, it is yours, not mine. I'm going to pour it out before you. It's a vow to praise. You see, worship is a response. Worship is not our preference or our style. Worship is a response. Because when we come face to face with who God is, and we come face to face with what he has done for us, it should change us on the inside to where we respond in worship. Because he is worthy, I'm going to give him what he is due. And the psalmist says here, I'm going to lift up the cup of salvation. Because he has saved me, I'm going to pour out my life. I will lift up the cup of salvation. Then we see he says, I will pay. This one's mentioned twice. Verse 18, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Then we see in verse 18, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. It's repeated twice here, I guess to show us how serious he was. This was a vow of genuineness. He says, I'm going to pay that which I owe. I'm going to be who I said I'm supposed to be. I'm going to give this unto the Lord. I'm going to pay my vows to the Lord. He wanted to be a man of his word. I'm going to follow through. You know, gratitude for what God has done brings the motivation for us to follow through in our relationship with Him. Gratitude for understanding our salvation and understanding what happened on that cross and what happened with Christ's blood should motivate us to walk in honesty, to walk with that follow through, to walk with that genuineness, and for us to follow through in a relationship with Him. You see, when our eyes are away from what He's done, when we get off track from seeing Him in a vibrant relationship with Him, you know what begins to happen? We begin to miss on our follow-through. We begin to skip out on some things. We begin to allow some breaks. We begin to allow some hindrances because we've gotten away of what it's all about in Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. And then all of a sudden, we begin to slip. And the follow-through begins to fail. You know, this is one of the reasons why we should regularly assemble, because we need to be reminded weekly and even daily what God has done for us. Oh, because when we look at the waves around us, it's easy for us to start to sink like Peter did, isn't it? When we look at the circumstances and what's blowing all around us, and when we focus on that and focus on that and send the fact that right before us is Jesus Christ, who's walking on the water, who is above the winds, who's above the waves, and He's reaching out His hand and says, follow Me. When we focus our eyes on Him, then we can experience calm in the midst of the storm. I will pay. I will follow through. And then lastly, we see, I will offer. Look at verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. You know, I love that phrase, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. What is the sacrifice of thanksgiving? Is it a turkey? I mean, what is the sacrifice of thanksgiving? You know what the sacrifice of thanksgiving is? I'm going to put aside myself and I'm going to respond because of who He is. I'm going to respond because of what He's done. I'm going to respond because of the salvation that I have found through Him. Folks, if God has not blessed us any more than our own salvation, folks, that's more than we could ever repay Him for. And that is plenty to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. This is His vow to sacrifice. We use the word sacrifice because we understand it does not come cheaply. If a sacrifice does not cost us anything, it's not true sacrifice. But when we sacrifice our being, we sacrifice who we are, and we sacrifice something that is costly, then it is of value, and it is showing the value of that which we're sacrificing to. Apply that to how God viewed us. If sacrifice applies to the value, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the value that God placed on your life was that He gave His only begotten Son. That should produce a gratitude and a willingness, a willful thanksgiving that places value in what He's done versus what we believe we are entitled to. You want to know what we're entitled to? Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Because we have sinned and because we have fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans 3:10 has told us there is none righteous, no, not one. We're all in the same boat. And James 2:10 tells us if we've offended in one point, we're guilty of it all. It only takes one fly to get into your drink for you not to drink it, right? It only takes one sin to separate us from God. But I guarantee you, we've all sinned more than once. And because of that sin and because of that separation, you know what we are entitled to? The punishment for sin, which is death. But Romans 6:23 says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." When we were entitled to death, we received love, grace, and mercy, so much so that it should be easy for us to offer unto the Lord the sacrifice of thanksgiving. To be able to say, "Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you that you didn't leave me helpless. Thank you that you didn't leave me unto death, but that you loved me so much to die on a cross for me. I want to come with gratitude with my life." That's willful thanksgiving. You see, these "I wills" are intentional. They're a willful response of thanksgiving. You know those first two, "I will call," where he is calling upon the Lord. I will call upon the Lord. And then we say, "I will walk before the Lord." You know what? These are responses of the heart. The vow to pray, the vow to come before the Lord and have a relationship with Him, the vow to walk in obedience before Him. This is a response of the heart. And that's why it starts with verse 1, "I love the Lord." You know what? Your love for the Lord is going to be seen in the response of your heart. "I love the Lord." And then the other three "I wills," "I will lift," "I will pay," "I will offer." These are responses of the life. Because notice what he said in verse 12. "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? Oh, I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will pay my vows. And I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving." Why? Because that's what I should render unto the Lord who died for me. How many kings left their throne to die for us? That's what he's done, and that should be the response. You see, willful thanksgiving and gratitude is a response. And folks, it's a response when we are overwhelmed by what God has done. Are you overwhelmed by what God has done for you today? Are you overwhelmed by the fact that even when you were a sinner, God sent His Son to die for you? Are you overwhelmed by Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Because see, that's why the psalmist says, "Gracious is the Lord, righteous, our God is merciful." He saw that in him. Our gratitude, our willful thanksgiving is going to come when we are overwhelmed by what God has done. Oh, but when we're overwhelmed by what the world is doing, our gratitude is going to wane. That's why the psalmist said there, and look in verse 7, "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." You see, throughout the book of Psalms, we have psalms of thanksgiving. And psalms of thanksgiving kind of seem to follow a pattern where the psalm of thanksgiving comes as a result of crisis. That when there's a crisis and when there's something going on, we see the Lord work, we see how He has provided, we see these different things, and then we have a chance to respond in thanksgiving. Not only is it after a time of crisis, but sometimes the psalms of thanksgiving come during a crisis. You ever thank God when you're going through a crisis? When you're going through the troubles? And a psalm of thanksgiving is a heart cry out after these times of crisis. And I want you to notice these words here in Psalm 116. Notice in verse 6, "The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me." Then I want you to look down at verse number 8, "For you have delivered my soul from death." And then notice verse 16. "O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds." You see, willful thanksgiving is going to come after a crisis. And here in this psalm, we see it came because there is a God of our salvation. We can give thanks And we can have gratitude today because there was amazing grace in our life. Because of that grace, and because of that love that ran red, because of all that He has done for us, our crisis has been taken care of in the gift through Jesus Christ our Lord. When Paul is thinking about death, he says, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory?" But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Gratitude will wane when we take our eyes off of that. Entitlement will rage when we do not understand the gift of salvation that's been applied to us. Can I ask you today, do you know personally that Jesus Christ died on a cross for you? That He died that your sins might be forgiven. That you might be able to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior. So that one day you can spend everlasting, all eternity, with Him in a home in heaven. Do you know that gift? Do you know that provision, that amazing grace today? If you do, where's our gratitude? Where is our heart? Where is our response of our heart to call upon the Lord, to walk in obedience before the Lord? Where is the response of our life to lift up in praise, to pour it out before God, all that we are? Where is our response to pay our vows, to follow through? Where is our response to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving? This morning, there should be one thing upon our hearts today that produces gratitude above all else. And that is the fact that through Jesus Christ, we have salvation. Can I ask you to stand with me this morning? This morning, we're going to close out by singing "Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone." And I want you to think about offering willful thanksgiving today. When's the last time you just prayed and praised God for all that He's done? When's the last time you just offered thanksgiving? Quit looking at the circumstances going on around us. Quit walking before men and decided, "I'm going to walk before the Lord today because amazing grace, my chains are gone. I've been set free." This morning, the altar's open. Come. Willfully give thanksgiving before Him. And if you need to know what He's done for you, I'm going to be right here. I'd love for you to come. I'd love to be able to show you what He's done for you. But as we celebrate Thanksgiving, let's do it intentionally today. And let's give Him the praise. Let's